morning, everyone. So my name is Amina Keats, and I'm a naturopathic physician, board certified, and I'm also one of, I'm proud to say, 81 naturopathic physicians in the world,
wow,
board certified in naturopathic oncology. And I act as director at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Department of Naturopathic Medicine, where we have an integrative care model for adult oncology patients. My specific role at Cancer Treatment Centers of America is to recommend natural supplements to patients while they're undergoing conventional treatment in the form of chemotherapy and radiation and surgery. And the point of the supplements is to counter side effects experienced by patients, support the immune system, and offer supplements that also help to fight cancer specifically. Now, as all of you can imagine, with cancer, an automatic kind of side effect that comes with that, no matter what the specific diagnosis is emotional upset and stress, resulting in fatigue and insomnia and anxiety and a host of other kind of symptoms. And so as naturopathic physicians, we're definitely supporting patients through things like that as well as their caregivers. And so I look forward to sharing some specific tips with you as we move forward in the program.
That was perfect. Our next panelist is going to speak to you about a different area of stress and sleep, and Nowena Kai is here with us today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. My name is Nowena Kai, and I'm an expert on raw foods and vegan nutrition. I'm also an author and an adjunct professor. And many years ago, I was very, very sick in my early 20s, and I was able to transform all of my illnesses with a raw foods and vegan diet. And as a result of that, I opened up a restaurant in Los Angeles, and I've traveled the world teaching people about how to transform disease with diet, nutrition, exercise, and holistic measures, and that's what I continue to do. I have founded the Live Well Movement, which is a movement that teaches people how to live a holistic lifestyle. And so today I'm going to share with you, you know, different foods that will counter stress as well as tips about maintaining your sleep. So thank you. And probably one of the biggest highlights of my career is I am 35 weeks pregnant.
Yay, so, mama.
thank you. And so my work is definitely transforming in helping women and babies live a holistic lifestyle. So thank you.
Great, welcome. And finally, we have Emily Lehman. She is a, I'm about to give your bio. Tell the audience what you do.
Certainly. Good morning. I'm Emily Lehman. I am the health and fitness editor at Philadelphia Magazine. How many of you are from the Philly area? Yay, hello. So I have had the distinct pleasure for the past 2 years of covering health and wellness here in Philadelphia. And let me tell you, I grew up in this area as well. Been doing this professionally here for 2 years, and it's just been phenomenal to see the health and wellness community here grow leaps and bounds. For me, it's been, you know, not only seeing a ton of personal trainers and yoga studios and Pilates studios, you know, open up throughout our area, it's also, you know, we've got a ton of vegan restaurants now. Who knew? We're not just the land of cheesesteaks. You know, we've got tons of ways and resources here in our area to help us be healthy and well. So what I hope that I can add to this conversation is some of the terrific tips that I've gleaned from the experts here in the area who've shared with me how to sleep better, how to be less stressed, and that I share with our readers on our blog every day, BeWellPhilly.com, as well as in Philadelphia Magazine each and every month. So hopefully I will do them justice and sort of share the knowledge that I've been able to glean from my very fun job. Thanks.
Excellent. Well, I am going in 2.5 seconds set the stage about really what stress is, and I'm going to get a little physiologic on you so that as our panelists explain to you why they're suggesting what they're suggesting, you'll know, oh, well, that must work here and that must work there. But I need a volunteer, and I have someone who has volunteered who's a friend of mine, but was there someone else who wants to volunteer for me? Excellent. Stand up.
What's your name?
Jenna.
Jenna. Jenna, I want you to hold this in your hand. And I'm going to give Jenna a little bit of stress. This is, the water in this bottle is stress. This is acute stress. Sorry, I'm spilling on you. She's an excellent spokesmodel.
This stress she has in her hand is when
is when her boss yells at her. It's when life doesn't go wrong. She has a flat tire on the way to work. And this is acute stress. This is the fight or flight thing. You have two choices. You know what? That just doesn't seem like enough stress to me. Why don't you hold that? And why don't you hold it out like this for me while I talk a few minutes? So you can imagine if she has a little bit of stress going on, any of us can handle this for a little while during our day. And when we have stress, I'm just going to read this right out of my book because I can't say it any better. When we have a little bit of stress and perceived danger of any kind, whether it's this angry boss, financial woes, or come on, ladies, mean girls, our brain releases hormones that travel through the blood to the adrenal glands, which sit right on top of our kidneys, our little bitty nothing organs that are so important. These little stress hot spots release two stress hormones that act on your entire body. The adrenaline that we get the fight or flight feeling, we get yelled at, our heart rate goes up, our blood pressure goes up. That is the, we are able to breathe faster. That is the acute stress response. But what happens when she stands here and holds her stress? I mean, I could make her stand here the whole hour, and what you would see is that this little bitty 20-ounce bottle of stress that you hold pretty easily now, right? Yeah. But if I make her hold her stress for an hour, she's going to start wavering like this, because what's the problem is chronic stress. The little bitty stress hot spots that we have every day, we can get through. But when we develop chronic stress, cortisol levels that are released by those little glands rise and remain high in the body. And then our body goes into survival mode and begins to store as much energy as it can for future fights, because we don't know when the next bad thing is happening, because our body thinks we're stressed all the time, right? That's why I ate all those cheeseburgers and gained 30 pounds, because my body thought that I was all stressed out all the time, which I actually was. Our adrenal glands don't know that the stress is coming from our boss and not actually running away from an angry animal. And so it continues to prepare you for the worst. And we store our stress as belly fat and wrinkles and fatigue, and it wears us down. And so that's our... See, it doesn't get easier, does it? Thank you so much. See? Thank you for being such a good sport. It's not the minute stress that we need help with. It's the chronic stress. And so when you think about that, Nowena, what do we do? What would you tell me, this stressed out resident, 7 years of no sleep, which we're going to get to, and rewarding myself in the only way possible at 3:30 in the morning was just not wise. But what can we do when you're at work and the angry boar is yelling at you?
Sure. Well, because I am an expert on food and nutrition, definitely maintaining a balanced diet, as I'm sure you all know, is definitely key. So there's a lot of information out there about maintaining a balanced diet. So what does that mean? Well, that means having complex carbohydrates, lean proteins, plenty of greens in your diet. Greens contains vitamin K. Greens also contain chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is what I refer to as sort of like the melanin for plants, because it's what gives plants their green color. But what chlorophyll also does is it's easily recognized by the body. So it goes in, it's put to good use, the body recognizes it. So foods that are easily able to be assimilated and digested in the body are also going to help with countering stress.
But when you say foods that are easily assimilated in the body, well, I want to ask you two questions. So when you say, define for us, because this is what you do every day, but for me a complex carb might be the bag of potato chips. What is a healthy complex carb? And what about this debate and balance between how much protein on the plate, how much carb on the plate, and then my old, this is how old I am, I have glasses. I forgot the second point, but it will come back to me. Okay. But define that, I know, define that for me.
Okay, so I'll address protein first.
Please.
So we definitely live in a culture where we are eating way too much protein.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
really?
Yes. People who need more protein are pregnant women and, you know, men who are very physically active. Most average people, women who are not pregnant and not that active, you know, fairly active once or twice a week, maybe doing exercise, we may need maybe 50 to 60 grams of protein a day.
So if the cell phone size piece of salmon is what, like 9 grams?
It's probably a little more, maybe 12 to 15 grams.
That just gives you, that puts what we're talking about, it is not the sirloin or even the whole fish side, right?
I mean, eating meat at every meal is getting way too much protein. Definitely.
Okay. It's interesting to hear you say that, because there's lots of sports nutritionists in my mm-hmm. world that say protein out the door. Anytime you eat, there has to be a pile of protein. So what was that number again? 50 grams, you said.
50 to 60 grams.
50 yes. to 60 grams. So that's a number, and then you know the cell phone size. But the question I just remembered is, when you say easy, digestible, you are not talking about easy in terms of it's neon and it comes in a neon package like Trix are for kids. That's easy, right?
Right.
I mean, that's pretty obvious. But give us five
sure.
easy out the door, because we're busy people and we don't sleep.
Sure. And when I mean easy, I mean it doesn't take days for it to digest in your system.
What does?
What takes days?
Yeah, what would take days?
Like red meat would take 2 to 3 days to digest in your system.
Oh, really?
Yes. But plant-based protein, nuts, seeds, grains, quinoa, chickpeas, things like that, takes less than 24 hours to digest in your system.
Okay.
So that's what I mean when I say easily able to be digested and assimilated in your body. You don't want things in your body that are taking days to digest and break down.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it. So if we need something other than what we're ingesting, or want something other than they're ingesting, I mean, what should we do? I mean, there are 6 million supplements out there. And how do we choose the right ones? How do we know that they're actually the pill in the bottles is what it says on the label?
Sure.
Give us some danger advice here.
So, you know, just to kind of piggyback off of what you started to talk about increased cortisol levels.
Yes, please.
And the naturopathic world, this whole idea of chronic stress related to elevated cortisol levels, what we go to is what we call adaptogenic herbs. And these are tonic herbs that help to support the adrenal gland and actually help to prevent that spike in cortisol levels. Because what happens is you get into this vicious cycle with this chronic stress state, where the cortisol levels are elevated, and then they're stimulating hormones in your brain, and those hormones from your brain are stimulating more cortisol. So it's just like this vicious cycle that never stops. So anyway, these adaptogenic herbs help to kind of put the brakes on the cortisol level of the whole process. And so one of the herbs that I commonly recommend for this chronic stress kind of state is something called rhodiola. Has anyone heard of that one before, by chance? Okay. So this is an herb that has been used traditionally, especially in Russia. And there have been a number of clinical trials done with rhodiola showing that it helps to improve energy levels, especially related to burnout. Helps to, sure, R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A. And it may also help to improve mental clarity. And so this is definitely an herb that I recommend for that kind of state. In terms of stress in general, I think that as a naturopathic physician, I'm definitely looking at kind of the cause or what the patient is experiencing specifically. So should I kind of go on with this?
Sure.
Okay.
Please.
So if I'm looking at a patient with chronic stress, adaptogens, rhodiola, that's my example. When you're dealing with stress also, it may present in the form of anxiety. And so there are a number of natural supplements that we can recommend for anxiety. My go-to would be L-theanine. This is an amino acid that's extracted from black tea and green tea. And what it does is it helps to increase serotonin levels, which is that kind of feel-good neurotransmitter. Sure, L-T-H-E-A-N-I-N-E.
And just so you know, we are going to compose a mm-hmm. blue ribbon panel of this advice. So write it down now. I'm recording this, and I'm going to create a handout that if you leave us your card in that green box, or you come up here and give it us in our bag, we'll send it to you. So if you don't get everything down today, don't panic. If you want it, we'll send it to you, because these are good words to write down. Okay, so go ahead.
Okay. Another point I wanted to make about L-theanine is that it may help to reduce blood pressure, which may be good, but you also have to be cautious if you are taking high blood pressure medication. So just kind of a, exactly. So just a point to remember about that. The last point that I would make is that when we're very stressed out, it affects other systems within the body, especially the immune system. So I know for myself, when I'm really stressed out, I get a cold every time. And so when you know that you're kind of in that state, whether you have a project coming up or specific things going on in your life, I would definitely recommend doing some immune support during that time. So, for example, something as simple as vitamin C at a minimum of 3,000 milligrams a day, definitely helpful in terms of supporting the immune system and also nourishing to the adrenal glands, the glands that, you know, secrete these cortisol levels in stressful kind of states. Another thing that I would recommend for immune support during these stressful times is a high-potency multiple vitamin to ensure that you're getting the basic vitamins and minerals that your body is requiring, especially during these stressful times. Astragalus is another great one. This is a Chinese herb that's been used for centuries for immune support. So those are kind of my go-tos in terms of the stress piece.
We got four really good supplements there for both stress and immunity and anxiety. And at the end of this portion, I'm going to return to you, Enwena, to talk about, can you give us five immune supportive foods? But right now, Emily, I need you to, if we're not eating it, what are we going to do with this stress mobility-wise and lifestyle-wise?
Sure.
Because what we take into our bodies is only one portion of how to deal with our stress.
Well, I think in an ideal world, we would all work for employers who give us an hour in the middle of the day every day to go out for a run or go to the gym, and they would cheer us on as we do so. But unfortunately, most of us probably don't. So aside from, you know, breaking that midday stress with some exercise, I would suggest that there's a lot to be said about breathing. I mean, if you feel a lot of stress coming on, let's say your boss just ran in and piled some epic project on you that you weren't expecting, and you can feel your heart rate rising and you can feel yourself getting very nervous about it, take some time, which make sure your boss leaves, but take some time, close your eyes, breathe in through your nose, feel your belly fill up with air, hold it for just a second, and release it.
You should do that right now. Let's do it. We have time.
Everybody close your eyes.
Close your eyes. Breathe all the way out. Exhale. Now breathe all the way in through your nose, right?
Yep.
Hold it, hold it. And exhale through your mouth.
And the reason you want to breathe in through your nose is because your nose will naturally cleanse the air just a little bit that you're breathing in. That's why you've got all those little hairs in there. So, you know, you don't need to sit there. I'm not saying you need to sit there on the floor, like, cross-legged and say om or anything. Like, I'm not talking about, like, deep meditation here. This is just a way to calm your system down and, you know, to take some time for yourself. We women, I'm talking to myself here, are terrible about taking time for ourselves, especially in the middle of a stressful situation. So I would recommend really setting some time for yourself. Just start with like a minute, you know, start with a minute of deep breathing. Maybe you set an alarm or something on your phone. You do a minute of deep breathing every couple of hours, see how that goes. Maybe you eventually extend it to 3 or 4 minutes. And it's just a good way to clear your thoughts, get some clarity and get some direction for the rest of your day. The other thing that I would say is, and this is not fitness related, so sorry.
Doesn't matter.
For me, you know, I wear a lot of hats, as I'm sure a lot of you do. So for me, I have a lot of different kinds of tasks coming at me on a given week or a given day. So obviously it's important for me to write down a to-do list, but beyond just writing down all of the random things you have to do, take some time to strategize and prioritize those things that you need to do. So look at your list and say, and like realistically, we're gonna accomplish 3 to 5 of those things in a given day, depending on the kinds of tasks that we're talking about. So having 25 things on your to-do list is just gonna make you feel more stressed out. So look at your to-do list at the beginning of the day, take 5 or 10 minutes to write down everything you need to do, everything that's on your mind, everything that's keeping you up at night, and decide what are the 3 things that I need to accomplish today, and then work towards those things. And hey, if you end up accomplishing 6 or 7 of those things, awesome. Like go home and have some wine and congratulate yourself.
Or 3, as she said this morning, right?
But you know, just taking that planning time will actually help you feel less stressed out during the rest of your day.
I completely agree with that, and I take it a step further because I am a maniacal list maker. But I have a to-do in 5 minutes list. I have a to-do in 20 minutes list and list that will take an hour or something. So that when I have found time, you know, the meeting gets out early or somebody stays late. I mean, you know, when you find 5 minutes, you've got a five-minute list. And you can ease your mind by checking off the easy stuff and totally clearing your mind like that. I just want to add to the lifestyle portion that I know that part of my stress is when, and part of what we're talking about when your boss is yelling at you or your kids are doing stuff is you're not in control anymore, right? And stress comes from not that feeling of not in control. And so taking back and being actively seeking stress relievers, whether it's supplements or food or your lunch is a total stress relieving lunch or you're standing up and taking 3 deep breaths. This is founded, what Emily has told you, is founded in physiology. You breathe through your nose. Nitric oxide is released from the inside of your vessels, from the inside of your nasal membranes, and goes to your blood, which is a natural blood vessel dilator. So it's not just you think you're more relaxed, you are more relaxed. You lower your blood pressure with this tip that she's giving you for your office. So before we leave the area of stress, can you give us 5 things to pack in your lunch for immune support in addition to these herbs that you should be taking in the morning or night?
Sure. So definitely, you know, you want to find foods or consume foods that are going to boost your immune system. So like kiwi and oranges are full of vitamin C, and vitamin C is that vitamin that helps to boost our immune system. So those are 2 fruits that you definitely want to consume, especially right about now where the flu season is coming up. And this would be great to also help to counter the flu. Also, cacao. I don't know if you all are familiar with cacao. That's where real natural chocolate or real chocolate comes from. It's considered to be a superfood. It's loaded with iron, which is great for women, and magnesium. Magnesium is one of those elements that's very deficient in the American diet. But that also helps to boost your immune system as well. You can get it in powder form. You can put it in smoothies. I use it and make chocolate pudding with. So that's something that you can add. Oatmeal also is wonderful to boost your immune system as well. It's very tasty. And also bananas as well as avocados. Avocados also has a great amount of good fats. A lot of us don't think that there is such a thing. But no matter if you're trying to lose weight or gain weight, you definitely need an ample supply of good fats. And one avocado has about 32 grams of good fats for your body, and it also helps to boost your immune system.
Can I add one little thing?
Please.
I'm looking at her list that she has written down here. Everything that she just said is literally the stuff that I put in my smoothies every single morning. So you don't have to sit there and like feel like you need to have this massive spread of food in order to get all these wonderful things she just mentioned. Put it in a blender. Like, I know it sounds really weird, but avocado in a smoothie makes your smoothie taste like a milkshake. I'm not kidding you. It's delicious. So, tip, make a smoothie.
I love the tips. I actually, my takeaway was, oh my God, I get to have banana chocolate oatmeal in the morning and it's good for me. All right, I hope that you got, I've written down so much stuff up here, and we're going to turn a little bit to the other topic of today's session on how to increase productivity, which is how to maintain your sleep. And you know, this sleep is a popular topic right now, and I think it's because we all want more of it and can't get enough. And it's really important for children as they're growing, but even as adults, it's not just a wasted time. It's truly the regenerative period for your body and your brains and ultimately your happiness. The number one reason people come to surgery with me is not because they have pain. It's because their pain prevents them from sleeping. Mm. Only when they can't sleep do they decide decide to have surgery. So we need a lot of help with this. I want to start with lifestyle tips. The how do we get it out of our heads? With the routines we need to do to protect ourselves from lost sleep?
I mean, you know I'm going to say it, but we should all be exercising. That's number one. I mean, your food is energy. Your you're taking in energy, and you need to burn off some of that energy in order to have a good night's sleep.
Well, lots of studies show that moving people, mm-hmm. I don't want you to think the only way to get exercise is burn it out on a treadmill. Moving and
Absolutely.
Active people sleep better.
And it's like,
studies
it's cumulative
that.
Throughout the day, too. Don't think that you need to sit around, like, you need to set aside an hour of your day in order to go, you know, take a class at the gym or whatever. Maybe it's walking for 15 minutes at lunch, and then, you know, in the afternoon you volunteer to go make the office coffee run or whatever it is. Your fitness time is cumulative. So that's the first thing. And I'm going to read off my notes here. There was a study by the Sleep in America survey, which found that vigorous exercisers get the best sleep, non-exercisers have the least energy, and those who sit less during the day also sleep better. So stand up when you can during the day. Again, I know I'm telling you to set a lot of alarms, but I live by the alarm on my phone, honestly. So if you set an alarm to go off like every hour or a couple of hours, it's going to remind you, oh yeah, I haven't gotten up in a while. I haven't moved around in a while. Take that opportunity to get up and go talk to a colleague or refill your water bottle or anything. Just get your body moving. That's super important. The other thing I would say about exercise is it varies from person to person. So you're going to have to sort of test yourself and see what works for you. But cardio is obviously your best bet to burn off calories and to burn off some of that energy, that excess energy. But for me, I know that working out in the morning is a much better idea than working out at, say, 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Because when I work out, it sort of raises my adrenaline and my metabolism, and it gets my body going. So then trying to go to sleep right after that is kind of impossible. So if you're in that boat, you're going to want to make sure you work out earlier in the day. If you're like, it really doesn't matter to your body at all, feel free to work out after work. But I would suggest at least giving yourself like 2 hours to get your body to come back down.
And I know this is your panel, but I feel very strongly about what you just said, but I want to frame it in a way that is not ridden with guilt. Because when we, sometimes when we speak, I don't know if this has been your experience, sometimes the response is, you're telling me more things that I'm not doing and I feel bad about it. But here's my message to you. I've been taking care of people for 28 years, and I know that you are important enough to invest the time in yourself. And you are important enough, and you are important enough. It's not about reaching somebody else's expectations about what added thing we're telling you to do today. You are important enough to invest every single day in yourself, whether it's time or supplements or food. It's not about somebody else's expectations. You are important, and you deserve the time you invest in yourself. So I hope that this list we're giving you is not just stuff to do. It's a daily investment in how important you are. And because I know that's the way we feel. And as we're saying these lists to you, I hope that's the way you're taking it. But when we address the lifestyle things that we've talked about increasing mobility and reserving time for ourselves, what if it's just not enough? How can we prepare during the day by what we eat to have the best night that we're going to have?
Sure. Sleep is such an interesting topic. One thing I find to be really interesting, especially in this culture, is we eat our largest meals towards the latter part of the day, which biologically it doesn't really make sense because we burn less energy at that time of the day, and it actually would benefit you if you actually eat your largest meal before noon and maybe your second largest meal between 12 and 3 o'clock when the sun is actually at its highest. It also, your digestive system is actually working better at that time as well, and so you can easily burn more calories that way. So I do find, you know, eating a light meal, very light meal, at least 2, maybe 3 hours before you actually retire to go to bed, would actually help you also to be productive the next day and to have a good night's rest.
If you guys are like me and you ate, you know, I don't know, I think I'm just barely recovering from all that 7 years of hamburgers, but we've gummed our system up for so long. I know you do a lot with corporate cleanses and group cleanses. Mm-hmm. Can we cleanse our way to better sleep? Can we just jumpstart it by getting all the gunk out and the chemicals? And
absolutely. I've been guiding and teaching people about cleansing and detoxing for over 10 years. And one thing I find is that when we do cleanse and we detox, a lot of people say, I'm very, very tired, and I thought I was going to have a lot of energy. But what's actually happening to the body is the body is cleansing and detoxing, and it's actually healing itself. Well, healing takes up a lot of energy. So you actually want to sleep. You know, if you've noticed, there's a reason why some people don't get better, like they don't heal from certain illnesses, or why they don't lose weight. And a lot of it also has to do with the fact that they're not sleeping as well, because if you're not sleeping as well, it inhibits you from doing those things because your body is stressed. And the body needs to sleep. I mean, we were designed to sleep, you know, and depending on the seasons, depending on your lifestyle, your level of activity, your health, your size, all depends on how often or how long you sleep as well.
Well, and I think that you're bringing up a good point that somebody may need 9 hours of sleep and someone may only need 5 to function. It's a personal thing. Mm-hmm. So that's another expectation we don't have to fulfill. Over the years, you've probably come to know what you can tolerate and what you need. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, I really want to talk about the natural supplement way to help us sleep, because what my patients do is as they come after surgery, they'll come off of pain pills, which I like to do rapidly, and still people, and I was just talking to another speaker this morning, what happens in the next phase is they still have enough pain, they can't sleep, and so some people put lots of us on sleeping pills, but is there a more natural way that we can take things that will help us without it having a pharmaceutical's name on it?
Sure, definitely. And as far as the supplements go for sleep disturbance, it really depends on the whys. And so is sleep being disturbed because of anxiety or because of nervousness or because you just can't shut your mind off? Sometimes it can be disturbed by night sweats. Sometimes you have no clue as to why it's being disturbed. And so I usually recommend an herb called valerian root for patients that are experiencing insomnia secondary to anxiety. Studies also show that valerian root works best for patients who have trouble falling asleep and who have trouble staying asleep. So if you find that you're tossing and turning, trying to fall asleep, and then you're waking up a few hours later doing the same thing, valerian root would definitely be appropriate. In terms of some other things, depending on the presentation, like night sweats, for example, mm-hmm. Magnesium is a great mineral for so many different things. Definitely beneficial for night sweats, beneficial for reducing anxiety, irritability, can help to reduce lower extremity cramping, which can sometimes be associated with sleep disturbance as well. Now, in terms of the form of magnesium, I would recommend glycinate. It's very well absorbed, and it doesn't have the gastrointestinal kind of side effects that the citrate form does. So magnesium can be taken orally, obviously, but you can also do something as simple as Epsom salt baths, which contain magnesium salts. So if you're not a pill person, what you can do is just get some Epsom salt from the drugstore, very inexpensive, dump about 1 to 2 cups of the salt into some warm bath water, and what happens is your body actually absorbs the magnesium from that water, and it helps to induce relaxation, and it helps to reduce tension and just relax the body so that you can get ready to jump into bed and sleep peacefully for the entire night.
I love that explanation. My brother does that. I thought it was an old wives' tale. Yeah. But I'm glad there's actually something going on with that.
Yeah, so yeah. It's a nice, easy, inexpensive thing to do.
Doesn't Epsom salt also help if you have muscle pain?
Like yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it helps to cleanse the body out as well, the salts.
Yeah. Get your salt at the door, right. Yeah. Get your
magnesium
salt.
There will be an Epsom salt shortage here in Philadelphia, I think.
Well, actually, we're going to open the floor for questions, so because believe it or not, we're getting to the end of this hour. It always flies. But before we do, I want, Emily, you to go back, and on your notes to me, you had an entire section on build a routine, and so many people talk about it, but I need you to be very specific with this crowd. How do you build a routine for sleep?
For sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, which I'm sure you've all heard, is reserve your bedroom just for sleeping. So this is not the place to be doing work, catching up on emails. It's not even really the place, honestly, to be reading. You want this place to be a sanctuary. It sounds really cheesy, but the more that you sort of separate this room, this physical room in your house, the more your mind is sort of going to get used to, oh, when I walk in here, this is, or when my body walks in here, this is the time that I should be winding down, that I should be relaxing, because I know that sleep is coming up. So that's the first thing I would say at a minimum to do. The second thing I would say is establishing a routine. It's along the same lines. If you do the same thing, the same relaxing set of things, sort of night after night, it's also a cue to your mind that, like, oh, right, when we had tea last night, that was sort of the first step in this unwinding process. So it just mentally triggers this sort of headspace of, okay, now is the time for me to wind down. So a couple of things I had was unwinding with a cup of tea. Maybe you guys have recommendations on good tea, caffeine-free tea. Maybe do a few yoga poses. This does not have to be complicated. We have I was telling Dr. Wright about this earlier. We have an event every year called Be Well Boot Camp, which is a day of health and wellness for women, and we had a sleep panel there. And on the panel, we had a yoga instructor who demoed a few really simple yoga poses. And the one that sticks with me that I've actually done is you lay on your back with your legs flat up against the wall, so you're sort of like an L shape. And it just sort of drains the blood from your legs and goes down into your torso and helps your body to relax. So if you're having trouble sleeping, like let's say you have some sort of, you know, fidgety, you're feeling a little fidgety, that's a great way to do it. And just stay there for like 5 minutes before you go to bed. Maybe listen to 10 minutes of soothing classical music. Like whatever it is that you know helps you relax, do those things in the same order every night. Before you go to bed, and soon enough you'll notice that those things trigger your mind and tell your mind to wind down and be quiet and go to sleep.
It's very funny, all the things you've described are exactly what probably lots of us did for our young kids. We had a routine that put them to bed, and we ignore it as adults.
It's true.
So, well, thank you. I'm going to encourage you to come to these mics. There are three in the row. I'm also going to encourage you not forget, if you want the handout I'm going to create from this blue ribbon panel, to put your card in that green Be Merry box or bring it up to the front. I have a bag up here because this is good stuff, and I wish we had hours. We could do an entire day on what we're talking about. Yes, volunteer.
Yes, my question is, what advice do you have to give to people to eat healthy and get all these supplements that they need in on a budget and make sure that that works for a budget for their family and for, you know, that's something that's sustainable, because, you know, not everybody can maybe afford to go to the vitamin shop and get everything they need and eat those healthy fruits and vegetables. So any tips that you have for that?
A good question.
Sure, that's a great question. And I actually hear that question often from patients because, you know, fees for supplements add up. And so the best thing to do really is to consult with your doctor, whether it be your primary care provider or your naturopathic physician, so that they're able to prioritize for you. So, for example, if I'm addressing something like fatigue, a B-complex vitamin may cost $15 for a one-month supply, but something else like coenzyme Q10 is $60. So I think having that medical kind of support will help you kind of make those decisions.
You know, I want to interject, as a medical doctor and not a naturopath, I can tell you that we are not trained to give this kind of advice, as you are well aware. So is there a website, because there's only 81 of you in the whole country, is there a website that you trust that you could go to, for instance, if you can't consult?
Sure. So for general medicine, the website would be www.naturopathic.org. And if you go to that website and plug in your zip code, it'll give you a listing of naturopathic physicians that are close to you.
Great. Great advice. Next question.
Yep. Tea and capsule.
Hi. My colleague and I are running the New York City Marathon on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations. So,
thank you. Any advice you can give us for recovery for our muscles and for nutrition and for even Saturday night, also for having the carbs and all that stuff. But yeah, the day after is what I'm worried about.
Epsom salt.
Oh.
But that's, well, what I do after runs now is, like, I'll take a bath, but I obviously can't do that right after the marathon. So I'm kind of concerned about my muscles are going to be like.
I call this the race day morning after, because I take care of a lot of runners. So what you do, even after you've run 26.2 miles and you think you can't go another mile, you walk back to your hotel a mile and you luxuriate in it. And during that time, during the first half hour after you are done with that race, you guzzle down at 20 ounces and 40 ounces, and you need to replay. Your body's a sponge after that. And after a race, and please jump in, you not only need to replenish carbs, but you need to replenish protein for the healing process, because you've just taken 54,000 steps. That's how long a marathon is, 54,000 steps. And then you recover with a backwards training. So if your taper week was, you don't run at all again until your muscles are not so sore that you can't move. But a massage will be good. And cold is better than hot, believe it or not,
right,
for inflammation. But then you train backwards. You reverse taper back. You just don't say, oh, I feel pretty good, I'm going to go do another 10 mile.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
Well, we're not staying
you.
In a hotel. Like, we have to drive in the car afterwards and everything. So that's what I'm worried about. Like, my muscles will be stiff.
So the New York ends in Central Park.
Yes.
The lower loop of Central Park is a 1.7-mile loop between the lake and the bottom half of the park. So just walk
just
around
it.
Or walk from the east side to the west side. Because you need to get all the lactic acid and the breakdown products from what you've just done out of your body. And if you just go sit, you really actually won't be able to move that well the next day. Do you have anything to add to that?
I do. I would also add drinking plenty of coconut water to replace the electrolytes, you know, in your body as well, because they come out of your body through sweat, and you'll definitely be re-energized that way.
Okay, great.
Yeah, great.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm
thank
so
you.
Excited for you, marathoner.
Thank you.
Next, at the second, or at the third? We'll just go to the second and then the third.
Okay. I'm a busy college student, and my day starts at 9 a.m., and it doesn't end till like, 11, and I'm always tired, but I don't take energy drinks, and I hate the taste of coffee. And I know coffee's like, sometimes it's good for you and sometimes it's bad for you, but so what's something I could eat or drink to give me energy so I'm not falling asleep when I'm supposed to be awake and at a meeting?
Sure. So I would suggest getting what we call in the raw foods world, superfoods into your body. Sometimes they can be a little bit expensive. One thing that's coming that's new on the market, and my husband actually just told me that he like is Moringa. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it, but he said it's better than coffee. Not in the taste, but just in the amount of energy that he gets. But superfoods like Moringa, which again, you can get it in powder form. You can get it in capsule forms as well, but you're really gonna need to, because your day is so long and you're not able to like take power naps, getting superfoods. Moringa, goji berries is a great snack to snack on for that, as maca root, which helps with also the immune system and also to boost your energy levels as well. A lot of these products you can get in health food stores, Whole Foods. They are a little bit on the expensive side, but I've had a bag of Moringa in my house for months now, so getting more superfoods into your body.
And not skipping eating altogether. Just
oh, well, absolutely. Not. I didn't hear that, but yeah.
No,
eating more frequently. I mean, I always suggest eating 4 to 6 meals a day, and just lighter meals definitely keeps your energy going as well.
The other thing is a secret cause of fatigue is dehydration. So think about your water intake. If you're not drinking enough water, your body is going to crash. So carry around a water bottle with you. Make it a practice to... I don't know, count how many water bottles you drink and make it a game.
Okay.
Good. Third mic.
Hi. So I eat a healthy breakfast. I usually have a salad for lunch. You partially answered my question because I don't drink a lot of water, and so I probably am dehydrated by 3:30, but I also really feel a crash at 3:30. And what happens is, you know, in the kitchen at work, there's donuts and pretzels, and there's things that I run and grab one. What could I keep in my desk that would help me with that crash?
Sure, and I want to talk back about the water intake. So they say we're supposed to have 8 ounces of 8 glasses of 8 ounces of water, I think. And a lot of us are very dehydrated because of that. You're actually supposed to take your body weight, divide it in half, and that's supposed to be the amount of ounces of water. So if you're 200 pounds, you divide that in half, you're supposed to have at least 100 ounces of water a day at the minimum. So things that you can power yourself up with instead of the donuts and the sugary things can be trail mix. It can be yogurt, lots of fruit. There's all sorts of power energy bars. Some of my favorites that are on the market is like Lara Bars is really awesome, and it has lots of nuts, seeds, some grains in it, and things like that. So again, but also I think spacing your meals out, eating 4 to 6 times a day will also, you know, help to counter some of those cravings that you may be having, and any hunger pains as well.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
First, Mike.
Can you give some guidance on how to actually pick the supplements? I feel like when I go to the drugstore, the same supplement can range in price from like $8 to $16, $20. So can you tell me how do I, when I'm looking at them, same milligrams, same everything, how do you compare and actually pick the supplement?
Yeah, that's a good question. Unfortunately, supplements aren't well regulated, and so it's very cautious to pay attention to brand names. So the first thing that I would recommend is to consult with a licensed naturopathic physician. And I say this because we're able to order from high-end supplement companies in terms of ensuring that the quality is top. My number two recommendation would be to, if you go to a store like Whole Foods, for example, their staff in that department is usually pretty well educated, and I understand that they have in-services from different companies, and so you can also ask one of the people in that department which supplement would you recommend, or which brand of this supplement would you recommend. Another thing to remember is that it's important to pay attention to supplements that are standardized. So for example, something like green tea extract is often standardized, which means that there's a certain percentage of polyphenols, or the important component of that supplement, guaranteed per capsule. So if you're looking at a particular herb and one is standardized and one is not, you definitely want to go with the standardized.
Great. Middle Mike.
Hi. I'm an obstetrician gynecologist. I'm a mom of 3 young children, and I'm diabetic, and I'm also anemic. And I am struggling always to find, even as a physician, I know what good snacks are, but I'm always struggling to find healthy snacks I can carry with me through the day, and also something so that I can keep my blood sugar up but not overdo it. And also anything you can recommend that would help me with my anemia that doesn't require iron supplements, since I know as a physician and a mom in my 40s, I don't want to take a lot of iron or I'm going to have other issues. So if you have any recommendations, that'd be great.
You know, I just have one comment. As far as the iron goes, are you talking about the GI kind of side effect that comes with that?
Yes.
Okay. So if you do iron glycinate, I don't know if you tried that form, or iron citrate, uh-huh. It usually doesn't come with that, just an FYI.
Okay. What about the diabetic healthy snacks that are
without a high glycemic index?
Yeah, and one thing I want to point out about iron is not necessarily hard to get into the body, but it is definitely hard to be absorbed by the body. So spinach obviously is full of iron, but you definitely need something that's acidic, like something with vitamin C, to actually have the iron absorb in your body. So I would suggest, you know, any snacks or foods, fruits and things like that, that would have the vitamin C. Yogurt, also the acidophilus in the yogurts also helps to absorb that iron as well, so that your body is actually absorbing the iron, because you could be getting enough iron, but it's just not being absorbed in the body.
Right. Way back at the third, we have 7 minutes, so here we go. The third, Mike.
Sure. So allergies are very interesting, because this is not always the case, but sometimes they come from not having enough good intestinal bacteria in the gut. And so because of that, again, you're not able to absorb some of the vitamins and nutrients and the minerals from the food. So again, sometimes the body is very interesting, so sometimes it takes getting that intestinal bacteria in the gut so that you can absorb the vitamins, the minerals, and the nutrients in the food and eliminate some of the allergies. We can get some of that bacteria from what we call fermented or cultured foods. Again, yogurts, tofu is actually a fermented and cultured food as well. So is wine, beer, and cheese. But But like miso is fermented. Anything, salsa is fermented. So they help to get some of that intestinal bacteria. Sauerkraut is a wonderful fermented food as well. Again, to help to counter those allergies and get that bacteria in the gut.
Good. First, Mike.
Thank you, first of all, for coming. I thought that this was a really informative panel. The question that I have relates to supplements, and I noticed that if I'm taking a high amount of vitamin D, 4,000 IUs, I think is the unit, I'm seeing a benefit just to, you know, how I feel throughout the course of the day. And I know there's a lot of controversy over what amount of vitamin D is too much, and I didn't know if you have a position on that that you could share.
Did you say 4,000?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, with vitamin D, it's important that you have your blood work done to determine how much you actually need. Have you been able to do that? Is that what that's?
I did and was told that my blood work was fine.
Okay.
I wasn't taking too much.
Okay. So usually when vitamin D levels are within normal range, the maintenance dose is anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000. So if you're in normal range, 4,000 should be just fine.
Okay.
But it's important to continue to get that blood work done to make sure that that dose doesn't need to be adjusted.
Okay. And what about for children, young children?
You know, I don't have any experience with pediatrics. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Second, Mike.
Thank you. I consider myself in recovery from chronic and acute stress. But one of the side effects that I experienced from that was chronic insomnia. Mm-hmm. And it's something that just, it came on in the last 2 years. And even though I am in recovery from that stress and don't feel the effects of the adrenaline and the cortisol in my body, I'm still experiencing trouble sleeping. And so I'm just curious if you have recommendations about that recovery process, if there are things that I can do to, you know, I put a lot of lifestyle changes into effect to help reduce the stress, lots of exercise and healthy eating habits and what I consider healthy eating habits and meditation and, you know, all kinds of practices that I've put in place. But I'm curious on the sleep end why I might still be experiencing that as a lasting effect, and if there's anything I can do to help that go into recovery as well.
And do you have a sanctuary?
I do.
Oh.
Just checking.
Have you tried anything natural for sleep already?
I went when the stress was at its worst and the insomnia was therefore at its worst, I went the natural route first. I tried everything from massage and acupuncture to some supplements like I tried valerian root, I tried magnolia blossom, ashwagandha root, all kinds of things as far as what I was concerned.
What about melatonin?
I did try melatonin as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
you stopped the dog.
Yeah. Gosh, because they're really my go-tos. I don't want to take too much time and ask you a battery of questions.
Actually,
but
you can come up after if you have 5
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, I'm happy
after.
To meet with you afterwards.
Yeah. I have one question for you though. Do you ever have nights when you do sleep well, or is it every single night that you don't sleep well?
It's getting much better. I do have some nights now where I sleep much better.
So one suggestion that I have that maybe might help is for like a couple of weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks, keep a log of the stuff you eat when you exercise. You know what I mean? Like your routine throughout the day, and then make a note like when you wake up in the morning, hey, that was a great night of sleep last night, blah, 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 blah. You might start to see patterns, like things that work for you and things that don't work for you, maybe timing-wise in your day in terms of when you eat or when you exercise. And strategies that do work. I mean, it might help. I mean, every expert that I talk to is huge on keeping diaries of some kind, whether it's a food diary or an energy diary, to identify when your high points and low points are during the day so you know when you need to eat a snack, that sort of thing. So maybe that could work for you.
Thank you.
Good, yeah. Thanks. We're going to take one last question, and then the two of you that are still at the mics are welcome to come up and talk to us. So lady in red in the back.
Thank you for being here today. This has been really interesting. Actually, a lot of my questions were around sleep. I've tried melatonin. I've had very strange dreams, like I was on acid or something, so I stopped taking that. But I'm going to be 40 in a month, and I'm noticing all kinds of kooky things happening, like rogue hairs growing out of my throat, and this morning I woke up with a cramp in my leg. Do you have any advice for us who are entering a new decade? fun supplements to take. My doctor's into a lot of this stuff.
I just want to tell you that I know weird stuff is going on, but the 40s are the best decade, and I feel sorry for ladies who still have 20 years to get there. But do you, now, that aside, do you still have some?
Dr. Vonda, I just bought your book, Getting Fit Over 40. I just lost about 70 pounds, and
yay.
I exercise.
Wow, let's do that. Absolutely.
Thank you.
One short answer. Can you?
You know, that's I can't give you a short answer because I'd have to ask you a bunch of questions, especially since you've tried some things already. Can we meet for a few minutes after this is done? Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Done. 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 Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Done.